This episode of We Are Libertarians is brought to you by Audible.com. Enjoy one free audiobook courtesy of We Are Libertarians. Choose from more than 100,000 audiobook titles, including works by Ron Paul, Walter Block, Murray Rothbard, and the Cato Institute. Audible.com also has audio of radio and TV programs and audio versions of magazines and newspapers. You can get the Audible app on any mobile device or download the audio to your computer. Go to audibletrial.com/WAL or head to WeAreLibertarians.com and find the link to get one free month of Audible today.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's the Pink Menace, the Harbinger of Doom, the Bringer of the Apocalypse, the fifth horseman that no one ever talked about because she was insane. I'm Maya Axton, back on WAL once again in someone very special, very creepy, very dirty, I'm kind of afraid for my life's basement, Harry Price.
Hey, undisclosed bunker,
okay, yeah. Because this bunker makes me feel like we could be protected from Red Ryder BB guns.
Yes,
maybe,
exactly.
Maybe. Is that single pane glass there?
Whoa, yes.
Spare
no expense for your safety.
Yeah, is the drywall only going down half the wall? Oh, bare stuff. Okay, and the
First off, those aren't studs. Those are 1x2s. Thank you very much.
Oh, I feel even, oh God, we're all going to die before the end of this show. But, Chris Spangle decided to hand over the reins of this episode anyway. He hasn't even posted the last episode because he's an idiot and never posts things on time, and that's why nobody listens to his show, but.
At the date of this recording, 12, 13, 14.
Yes, yeah, 12, 13, 14. But, Chris decided, hey, these two jagoffs need to record another episode because I'm fat and lazy and don't want to do it myself. Well, okay, fat and lazy is kind of mean. He's not as lazy as he used to be, and he's getting a lot less fat. I think he's giving it all to me because this is a problem.
Yes,
but
it's an ancient Canadian spell. It's how they transfer their weight over to people. It's because people in Canada's actually incredibly fat. They just transfer it down to America.
So. Yeah, and see, that's the problem because I've had to go out and buy new pants because my ass won't fit in any of my pants. So that's not necessarily a bad thing in my position. No, it's not. No, it's not. I'm actually pretty sure my ass is bigger than my wife's, which is hard to believe because she has a huge ass.
Are you ready to fit in those apple bottom jeans now?
I don't have the hips for apple bottom jeans.
Oh.
Those require hips.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah. Oh well. I might buy some used and like just modify them, just bring them in a little bit and, you know.
There you go.
Now that we're already horribly off topic in the intro of the show, you dirty sons of I don't know how much he likes cussing on his episodes anymore, but fuck it, bitches. But we're going to talk to you this week or month or however many other podcasts he puts up this. I guess it'll probably be next year when he puts these because he's lazy. But we're going to talk about Gamergate and what's been going on with that whole shabab. If you hadn't heard of it, probably because you haven't, because unless you live on Tumblr, 4chan, 8chan or Twitter, you probably haven't heard of it. And maybe get into a little bit more from the last episode about Eric Garner and the police state and some things that have happened since that last episode was recorded. So, Harry, would you like to give a brief explanation and a simple one? Because I know you can get really complex with this and convoluted of
just
what is Gamergate?
All right, short form of Gamergate. I'll try to be short anyways because it's almost like an onion. The thing with Gamergate is it's basically the gamers fighting back against their media establishment, the quote-unquote gamer, the mainstream gamer media. And it's been a fight that's been brewing for years.
Well, real quick, when you say gaming media, who are you talking about? Like, what websites are you talking about or... You know, I mean,
we're talking about like websites like Kotaku, places like almost like even like Revision 3. Let's see, Giant Bomb. These places that are Metacritic. These places that are supposed to give us straightforward reviews of games that makes us want to purchase games.
And so basically, a lot of different websites, I guess, that are based on technology and stuff like Gawker and IO9 and a lot
correct,
of those websites.
Correct.
They have a whole gaming wing kind of that talks about gaming tech and games and productions and developments in the gaming industry. So that's kind of who we're talking about when we talk about gaming journalism, right?
Correct.
Okay.
All right. So like I said, this fight has been brewing for years because there's been a lot of bad games that have gotten really great reviews, and that has pushed people to do pre-order sales. And pre-order sales is very good for gaming companies because that helps them put sales on the board, make a so if they wanted to make a sequel, they could go ahead and make one. But then we started to realize a lot of these people who are doing these reviews to push us to do pre-orders, they were getting kickbacks. They're either getting kickbacks in the form of computers, trips, access to different cons, premier content for different like providers, in order to convince their fans to purchase their products early and to give money for bad games.
What do you have any examples of some of the games that were, you know, before the pre-order kickstart? Some of the games that that might come to mind when talking about that.
Let's see. Man, it's a thing. It's such a freaking long list, and like a lot of them, I just avoided.
Okay, well, who's the company that makes Far Cry? Oh, good lord.
Yeah,
I can think of. Go ahead and pull that up. But Far Cry just released a new game, mm-hmm. Far Cry 4,
yes.
And they did a lot of pre-order stuff. You know,
correct.
You buy it before you see it.
Mm-hmm.
And game developers have been getting really specific on what content they put in their demos or when they send out. And they send out these really nicely, quote-unquote, polished pieces to these game testers. And what people find out is they go ahead and they get the game after it comes out, and they come to... You know, it's trash. It's full of a whole bunch of tropes and crap. It doesn't work right. Then they have to release, you know, you spend the next month waiting for releases and patches before your game actually works. And you've only got a digital download of it. And you paid $60 for it, for a digital download of a game, which is another part of an industry thing where we're kind of sick and tired of paying, you know, GameStop prices for games that we're digitally downloading. And that they've spent, you know, they're not sitting there advertising it, but what we're finding out through Gamergate, and we'll get into that, is the people pushing these games, the place where we're learning about these games, are getting paid off or in agreement, and they get kickbacks for pushing these games.
Correct.
And these game, the different developer companies.
Yes. Like, a good one is Homefront. A lot of people was like, Homefront, that game was okay. Yeah, it was. It's short, it's crap, it's mediocre, and it should have been a game that really interested me, where it's a military invading America, and these people are fighting back, and you're doing all this cool stuff inside the game, and it looks like it should be a good game. And then, like, all the reviews and everything out there is like, oh, I should pick up this game. And it wasn't until that game was released, and everyone realized how much of a crap turd this thing was, that the Metacritic score started to come down as other people started to review this thing, because this thing came out with pre-release around a 90 to 88 Metacritic score. Now, I just pulled it up, now it's down to 70 finally.
Oh, wow.
And I still think that's too high.
That's a pretty substantial drop, mm-hmm. for a game to be come out and say it's this good, and it comes out and it drops down that far. So obviously, some shady shit had to be going on.
Exactly.
Now, you know, a lot of people say this is conspiracy, this is blah, 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 people are jealous, or people are just hate mongers and stuff. Why did Gamergate turn into such a big thing that, you know, incited the Tumblr people? That really grew to the point where websites are now, because of Gamergate, websites are now losing advertisers from big companies. Mm-hmm. Adobe, BMW, Gawker is the one, I think, that lost... Adobe, BMW, Intel, Mercedes.
Correct.
Some high ticket guys that, you know, really you know, go towards their crowd, their viewer base.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They've lost it over it. What was, you know, this has been like you said, this has been going on for years, where people are sick and tired of being dictated to from big organizations that are in bed with these journalists and these websites telling us what's good, what's not good. And everything else, and then we're all sitting here saying, these games suck. Can we please get some good games? We give you feedback. You
right,
have
yes.
free feedback from yes. us, and you don't listen.
Right. We give feedback to it. And the other thing with the whole Gamergate thing is a lot of these places are putting in their politics in their games. I'm a very political person, so is Maya, but when I want to hear about a game or a movie, I don't care. I just want to know about the game, especially the game. Most movies coming out of Hollywood are politically motivated, especially Elysium. We understand that. But video games, I'm not really wanting that. That's not the area where I want everything. Now, granted, some of these reviewers got me to play some good games that technically are not games. I was sold a barrel of lives that they weren't games, but they still games I still enjoyed. Even if they just came and was very truthful with me, like when I watched Adam Sussman's review of this game, it's called Gone Home. It's a good video game, quote unquote video game. It's more of an exploratory thing. But that's most of the reviews, that's not how it's built to you. It's a game, you're going through a house and stuff like that. If they would have just been honest with me, I probably would have bought the game sooner. But it's, to me, it was a gorgeous game because it works on a lot of the tropes a lot of people have in first-person shooters, as you keep expecting for things to happen. And that's what it worked on. And as you walked around this house, exploring and stuff like that, it's great for what it is, but that wasn't how it was sold.
Okay, and so, and we've seen that, and we, you know, we're at the part in the industry where consoles may be on their last leg and dying.
4K gaming is probably going to put that one more nail in the console gaming death knell.
Yeah, I mean, we came out with the Xbox One and the PlayStation 4, where you can't, it's not backwards compatible.
Nope.
There were so many issues with launch. There still are a ton of issues to deal with. Nintendo so far has the only game console out there that is backwards compatible.
Right, yeah, yeah. And then they came out with, they still had mechanical hard drives in it, no SSDs, the RAM chips are put right on the freaking board, they overheat all the time. I work for a computer refurbisher, they overheat. You know, we got put some together by having to take some of the cooling stuff off of Kindles, old Kindles, and put them on the PlayStation 4s so they would stop overheating themselves.
Yeah, and see that, and so console games have devolved into new Maddens, new NBAKs, or whatever.
Assassin's Creed.
And Assassin's Creed, and, you know, what is it?
Call of Duty.
Reskinned games, where they're just pumping out the same game, adding a couple features. Mm-hmm. To PC gamers, what it amounts to is basically it should be upgraded graphics packs,
right,
and DLC.
Right.
That's all these games are, is they're repackaging a new game, selling to you for $60-$70, mm-hmm, and all it is basically DLC for anybody, downloadable content, which is how PC gamers have lived, where instead, you know, you wait a couple years in between new releases of games. But during that time, they start giving you DLC, and sometimes that helps lead up to the new game and showcase, you know, what is, but they're still making some money off of it.
Correct, yes.
And most of us are fine with that. Now, things have changed also there, where it's
DLC.
It's pay to play, or it's pay to win.
Pay to win, yep.
Which is where it's a cheap game, but you can't really be that good or have a lot of fun until you buy all this extra DLC, which is overpriced. And it's, they're releasing half-assed games and going, hey, this is a great game. This is where the whole Gamergate game comes in. Is people are like, yeah, this is a great game, and you can play it, and everything's fun. And, oh, yeah, there is DLC you can get. Come to find out, without the DLC, you can't really have fun in the full experience. So they're not releasing full games, but all these media people, these so-called journalists,
right,
which are just mouthpieces, are telling you that this is a great game, and we're getting sick and tired of spending our hard-earned money on these games, and they're not being real games. They're crap.
What was it? Dead Space that came out. Well, you eventually get to the point of the game with the microtransactions, which it seems good in it's good in concept. I love the concept of it, but the execution in Dead Space, you get to a point where you could not complete the game once you started spending hard-earned cash for in-game crap to beat the freaking game with.
Yeah, well, I mean, one of the games that's talked about as doing extremely good with their microtransactions is Team Fortress 2.
Team Fortress 2, yes.
TF2. What they've done is that you can pay them money to unlock, get keys to unlock their special boxes that you can sometimes pick up to get the equipment that you might really want, but it's so well balanced. And you can get different outfits, you can get all this neat, spiffy stuff, but you don't have to. You can get on that game, never played it before, and have the same amount of fun as someone that's been playing it for 300, 400, 500, 600 hours over the fast few years.
Exactly.
It's great.
And even if you did have this cool item out of that crate, you could still get owned by that guy who just picked up the game, who decided to, at a whim just to pick up a scout and still blast your freaking brains out.
You pay for if you want to make the game better for your particular playstyle, if you have one. Not to mention, I mean, you have to have been playing that game for years to have a real specific playstyle because it's, well, it's TF2 and you can, there's what, 9 different classes and mm-hmm. everything else. So it's, that game did it good if you want an example of what games done microtransactions good. As far as DLC Borderlands, I believe personally that they did a great job with their DLC because the main game itself with the different playthroughs and everything else, I put 180 hours into it before I did DLC.
Now the thing is, Borderlands did a good job after they got out of the clutches of, what was it, THQ? After they got rid of them and they kept trying to put all this DRM into the DLC Borderlands. Gamer use in acronyms.
DRM is?
Digital Rights Management. Basically what it does is what they use to lock down different installs of your game. So instead of allowing you to place it on multiple machines, you can only install the DRM for the DLC for for the original Borderlands 3 different times. The thing is, it was coming at a time which really ticked people off was the simple fact that people were upgrading. People were having Core 2 Duos moving to their first i5s and going upgrading from either Vista or XP to finally go to 7. And that thing is, they downloaded it once, did it again. So now they've done it twice now.
Then if you wanted to put on your laptop, say if you put on your laptop and your PC,
yes,
that's 2, mm-hmm. and then you can only upgrade one of those now.
Right, yeah.
Because then you'd have to buy the game all over again. And if you want to really see the horribleness of DRM, is first off, look at why Windows games died.
Yes. Right,
Their DRM management, their front-end software, was horrible. Then you look at the new SimCity release. Everyone was excited about SimCity release. They put on that Origins. It was, what, a full 24 hours before most people could even play their game because
right.
the Origins crashed, mm-hmm. and they did not release that well. They did not do well on it, and they ruined the game.
Right.
They
yes.
ruined it for everyone because it all went through Origins.
Mm-hmm.
And,
mm-hmm.
you know, there's this thing out there called Steam, and it has done most things right.
Yes, most things right.
You can download a game a bajillion times. You can actually, if you go over to a friend's house and they have an extra computer or something set up for you, you can download your game over there, install it and everything. Now, if that person happens to want to get on there and access your account, Steam will actually be like, hey, there's another, you know, computer attached to your account that's trying to play one of these games while you're already on Steam. Is this okay? Is this allowed? You know, do you want them doing this? And so you can actually use your own Steam account and let somebody else log in and try out games before they buy their own copy, which is awesome.
Correct.
Most game manufacturers don't like things like that because you're not buying sight unseen, which is what they love. Mm-hmm. Listen to their mouthpieces in the so-called journalism industry for games. And like, just listen to them and they go buy it sight unseen. Remember when they used to release, you know, 10 years ago, they used to release demos.
Demos, yes.
Which are like, they were like a quarter to a third of the game.
Right.
Straight up in your face and said, here, get addicted to playing this and then go buy it.
Right, yes.
Now it's like, watch this 5-minute video and then give us all your monies. And then keep giving us your money so you can actually play the entire game.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And the journalism people in whatever, like Gawker, IO9, and all these different websites, are okay with that. They pushed that. And they never have once stood up to these big corporations, these big game manufacturers, and said, no, this is dumb. We're not going to support you. They have no journalistic integrity whatsoever. And we found out through the email chain,
mm-hmm.
which is very important. Do you want to talk about that?
With the email chain of different letters?
Well, the secret Google email group. Where they, what they did is they had a lot of these journalists and some of these, you know, people in the different game industries all were on this email chain, the CC group, and said, you know, this is what we're going to talk about. This is how we're going to push things.
Right.
If you don't do this, you can't talk about it. You can't get exclusives. We'll destroy you if you don't do what we say.
Mm-hmm. Keeping everybody in lockstep, making sure no one's edging over anyone. It was almost like, what, OPEC for video game journalism. And a lot of people, and then you watch the anti-Gamergate people, or the people who are trying to say it's not about that. It's just like, well, it's a club for people in the main, you know, so they're supposed to be people who are in the mainstream media, it's a club for them. And then when it turns out, it's not. It's not. It's just them pushing things. Just like when the Gamergate was coming out, and they all somehow were able to put out articles about how, the death of the gamer. No one likes the gamer handle anymore. Gamer death everywhere. What was it? Ten different websites of everyone on that chain all put out content about killing the whole gamer name.
You know, and it kind of ties into mainstream journalism too. You can find video clips on YouTube and stuff of news sources from all over the country saying the exact same phrases about stories, because everything comes down from the AP,
right?
And everything's just handed to them.
Right.
There's very few actual journalists out there anymore, and they all say the same thing. They're all lockstep together.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the problem. Like when GameSpy died,
yes.
That was a huge loss, and that happened just before this Gamergate thing really exploded. That was a huge loss.
Mm-hmm.
Old servers to games died. Mm-hmm. So that's the thing with PC gamers, is that TF2 is how many years old now?
Close to 10?
That's almost a decade old game, and people, and it's still living. It's still going. There's games I've downloaded on my Steam account that are 7-8 years old, and I can still get on there and play multiplayer.
Right, because they've got different servers and stuff like that. Because PC gaming allows you to either create your own server with it. They would mod it, just like Just Cause 2. It was never meant to be a multiplayer game, but people have modded it, so it is a multiplayer game.
Which is a different thing than, say, console gamers, which once something, you know, once a new game comes out, the old one's basically dead. They try to force you to buy the new one.
Yeah.
With PC gaming, if a game's good, we want to play it forever, and so does the manufacturer. Whoever made that game, the developer studio, wants us to play it because their name shows up in the loading screen.
Right.
Which gives us good feels every... We have a good attachment with their name every time they do it. And with a lot of PC games, these smaller... like with Sanctum and everything else, who mm-hmm, did mm-hmm. Goat Simulator, it's years in between new games coming out. It's not every year a new game comes out, and... They want us to play their old games because it's a very capitalist, very free market way of looking at it, is that we want people, or the game developers want people to think about the company well. They want them to like the company, not just their product, or mm-hmm. through their products that they get it, but they want people to like them. They talk to people on the Steam forums, they're very helpful, they come out and they work with Steam, and Steam works with them and everything. It's like, when you look at it, it's a great way to see how a free market would work a bit with some of these smaller game developers.
Exactly. Like, when you look at the console game or people in the console game, it's kind of like, you know, bring it back to the political spot side of this show, is like, well, you've got the left and the right. You got either an Xbox person or you're a PlayStation person. Now there's a few people who have both or go back and forth between the two. But most of the time, you're either an Xbox player or you're a PlayStation player. Neither of the two shall meet. When it comes to PC, no. Each game is offered to the taking. We're going to play all of them.
Here's how to look at it. And I'm going to assign this just randomly here. Is that, or for the two big guys, is that the Xbox is Republicans and the PlayStation's Democrats. The Wii, the Nintendo, whatever Nintendo system's
Wii.
Out, is the Libertarians. And the PC Master Gaming Race are anarchists. And
because like when you come to PC gaming, it's like screw your rules, you know. Like they were trying to bring all that DRM stuff to PCs, and it's like that's not going to work for us. We won't buy your games, or we'll find your ways around your games, like Spore. Whoever, you know, I think everybody has Spore for free.
Yeah.
But Spore is one of the big games that came out with a lot of DRM protection on it. It wasn't really that good or popular of a game, but it got passed around because they kept talking about how no one could pass their privacy, their protections on it. So what did gamers do? What did some hackers do? Go around it. Get inside and get that code passed around. It's not even that good of a game.
No.
It was just simple fact that they were told no, so they did. And that's when it comes to PC games, we do want to play it. Like a good game that I played for years is Dungeon Defender. When GameSpy went down, the console gamers can no longer play their Dungeon Defenders online. Now, if you bought it through Steam and you bought it through a PC, you can still play your game online. There's servers still. Dungeon Defender was a cool game because it was one of the few games that were cross-platform compatibility. If you bought it on the Xbox or the PlayStation, you could play Dungeon Defender with people on the PC. For the longest time, it was beautiful. It was gorgeous because you didn't know who was also playing with you. And if you had someone who was on a console, they could still play with you on your PC. It was a great and wonderful experience.
Yeah, and with PC games is that you get to this Steam Workshop, and people are making mods for it, and then eventually sometimes the game developers actually pick up these mods that just somebody tinkering around made, and they put it into the game.
Yes.
And they'll use it as a patch to the game, or they'll work with that one individual person on the new game they're coming out with and be like, that was a great idea, and people love it. It's a very crowdsourced thing, is that you're giving the people what they want. You're giving the best product available, and you don't see that with lots of console gamers. And we didn't see any of that being reported on, talked about, or promoted through a lot of these game journalists.
Yes.
And so that kind of brings us back to us our rant of, you know, talking about PC gaming, because we are the master race. But one thing that really popped the Gamergate thing is a lot of this information had come out and had been brewing. And all of this stuff and all of this, you know, gamers were tired of being picked on. We're always being picked on when it was back in the 90s with Mortal Kombat and the violence. They're always talking about our violence and this and that. And we're fat, lazy, basement dwellers. Well, we're in a basement, but that's just because podcasting equipment takes up a lot of room, okay?
Yeah. Jack Thompson going to Congress trying to get games banned.
Yeah. And all these things were always being picked on. We're picked on by nerds. We're picked on by jocks, by the popular crowd. Everybody picks on gamers.
Hillary Clinton, okay?
And everybody's a gamer. Remember when Pong came out? Remember the old arcade thing? And, you know, you go back to like the 70s and the 80s with the arcades growing and pinball machines. That's the same thing. Pong's the same thing. It's just it's advanced. It's turned into something else. And we're tired of being picked on. So when this Gamergate thing broke, we had years and years of being picked on built up and said, we're tired of this shit. God bless America. Stop. And what happened is, you know, so we have the Quinspiracy, which is the powder keg was built. The fuse was inserted, and the conspiracy lit the fuse.
Yes.
What is the conspiracy?
The conspiracy. A lot of people just viewed it as, you know, technically what it is was it's just a jilted, like, tell-all from a jilted ex-lover. But what this guy did, right, was basically release everything. He just kind of just broke the wall down. Something we all kind of believe. There was a lot of things going on, but not to this extent. What we found out was that we had Zoe Quinn. What she was doing was trading sexual favors for good reviews for her games. For what was the game? Depression Quest.
Yeah.
To be able to get good reviews.
And by game, we mean interactive story.
Yeah, interactive story. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, but who wants to play Depression?
Yeah, and so this game got a lot of hype. It got
we're putting quotation marks for game, by the way.
Yeah, we're doing that. This is actually a really, really, really good example of the Streisand effect. Is that the bad press ended up far outweighing the good press,
right?
And that's really the only reason anyone actually knows about this game now is because of how horribly things went with this situation. Is that, I mean, this is back, this is back in December of 2013 is when the game was submitted and everything else kind of went down.
Steam green light because it was a PC game.
Yeah. And it just kind of took off from there. And so we come to find out that there was either sexual favors or promises of sexual favors. There was a lot of, and what we really came out with is there was a lot of white knighting going on too.
Yes. And then like her stepping over into what's that Disney Chan site? I can't remember the name of that website. They're like it was, and then it spread over into 4chan, and it's
so That's what, like, and we found out a lot of stuff from that, and it started a lot of discussions, and people finally were just like, fuck it. We're doing something about this. We are standing up to this crap. And what we found out is there was a lot of white knights, and then there was quite a few women at the top of this thing. And there was a lot of social justice crap being perpetrated, you know, or being pushed at the top of all this. And we're all like, you know, it's games. We've been attacked for violence. We've been attacked for making kids lazy. We've been attacked for a myriad of things. And now the SJW force, the social justice warriors of Tumblr land.
Right. We're not to be confused with social justice lawyers.
Yes, yes, yes.
They're not the same thing.
Yeah. And sadly, social SJWs used to mean something completely different.
Right.
It used to mean you stood up to bullshit in society. You were trying to affect change in society. You were a social justice warrior. You fought to change social views on things and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
A lot of people had great intentions with it, but the Tumblr fat neck, you know, necklace, you know, troglodytes on Tumblr, the feminists on there, and not to be confused with, like, the feminists that care about women being treated equally and all humankind being treated equally coming from a feminine perspective, but the rabid, brawl-burning, fat, pimply-faced, weird-colored hair, weird face tattoos, and just the worst people ever. I would put these new SJWs on par with the Nazis.
It's Cartman.
It's And so for any of you that watch Facebook, Cartman is the embodiment. Yeah, if you watch South Park, the Cartman is the embodiment of SJWs, and that's what some of the episodes recently have been about, is making fun of this SJW crowd. But they got into the whole Gamergate thing. Now, you got to, and this isn't exactly the small potatoes, for what, the last year almost? Well, no, last 6 to 8 months.
6 to 8 months, correct.
At least 70,000 hits a month on the hashtag Gamergate. That's quite a bit. That's you know, it's not Ferguson level, but it's up there. And so they got in there and said that all gamers are sexist, all gamers are misogynistic, all games perpetrate the tropes of, you know, women are weak and women are sexual objects and everything else. And that's when we get into the worst person to grace the Gamergate field or the scene.
Yeah, the great gamer critic extraordinaire.
Anita
Sarkeesian. Anita Sarkeesian.
Yes. Now this giant four-headed bitch
SJW that came out of freaking left field,
which is not a game, who is not a gamer.
Right, she's not a gamer.
What you know what? What is she?
She calls herself a gaming critic, right?
Okay.
As far as I know, she hasn't even played any video games. She can't even really name any off on the Colbert Report of
but,
games.
I mean, she's just a college student, pretty much. A college lifer?
Yeah, she was one of those college-for-life people that got out with a communication studies degree. And her entire paper that she did for her major, like when she got out, it was all about the same stuff that she's doing for video games, she did for television. And she probably decided that wasn't going to fly. That wasn't going to work. So she decided to probably transfer that message to video games. And then she came to it was tropes versus, feminism or women? Tropes versus women. And she started a Kickstarter event and started to raise money to put out a video series to talk about the terrible tropes in video games.
Now, why you need to raise money on Kickstarter to put out a video series when thousands of people do it every day on YouTube, I don't know, but and she also started a company, correct?
A feminist frequency.
Yeah, and actually, a little
thing.
Because
that Kickstarter brought in $125,000.
Yeah,
and she didn't even produce half the videos that she promised to put out with.
Yeah, and one of the things that's coming out now is if you guys know what 4chan is, it's the underbelly of the internet.
Was.
It's degraded, but there's people that are even too extreme for 4chan, and there's a website called 8chan. And as a couple days ago when I was following a thread in there, is that they're actually now going after all of these groups, all these feminist groups and everything else, in the best way possible. They're going after them for their taxes.
Ooh.
they're filing financial report requests, and they're timing them. And if they don't report, you know, if they don't give them the report in such and such time, they can report them. They're going to sick the IRS on feminists, which is hilarious because most of these people are government lovers. They love government. They want the government to do all this stuff. They're the same people that produced the fuck hate campaign with the little girls cussing and throwing out, you know, women make less than men. Untrue. All the other things about, you know, one in five women are sexually assaulted on campus. That was untrue. And all the other things they put out in these videos.
Right. Reciting Mormons, but they just decided to put them in little girls' mouths. Hopefully that would make it true.
And it's not, but that's what we're dealing with here. And the same thing with gamers are saying that, you know, the gamers have died and SJWs have conquered the gamers and all this other stuff. And I'm, you know, and they've attacked gamers as being these horrible people. And all these people are now sitting up on their little high horses and their little palaces of, you know, feminism and judging all of these gamers when, what is it, 59% of the U.S. population is considered a gamer that plays games?
Play games. And they try to make the whole gamer group sound like heterosexual cis male, okay? With Maya and I are sitting in the basement. I'm clearly not white. You could tell by my credit score, you know.
And I am clearly not cis. But and you know, it's funny talking about this is just a couple weeks ago I went to a LAN party with Harry. He invited me to with some of his friends. There was what, 9 black dudes, one Asian guy and another white person, which I can't tell if he's cis or straight. I don't know, so I'm not going to, you know, assume.
Yeah, we're not going to
assume. And then me, and that was probably the most fun I've had the past couple years gaming on online. Is that, you know, it was my first LAN party because I've never had friends, so I've never been invited to LAN parties. But
the crew does try to accommodate.
The crew is what they call themselves. It's their little group. And, you know, a lot of people, and this is what we're going to get into next, is the Not Your Shield campaign, is they're saying that they're all a bunch of white cis males and that, you know, a lot of people say that, you know, black people only play sports games and blobbed about, and all we want to do is kill people and the violence and the stupid Call of Duty games. Is we played a little everything. That was what, 22 straight hours of gaming, I think,
something like that. Yeah, and we just gamed. And when I just even talked to the guys about, like, hey, I'm gonna bring, you mind if I bring Maya to the LAN party, the only questions out of their mouths were, does she have a computer that can play games? Can she game? Is she fine with trash talk? Yeah, then bring her. That's it.
And it was wonderful, and we trash talked the shit out of each other. And what's funny to know is most everyone inside that house has some sort of training in martial arts or in combat.
Yes.
We all know how to kill each other. None of us were, well, no, the one guy, that was the only small guy there.
Yes.
By at least 50 pounds on everybody else.
Correct.
And we all are very, very well acquainted with violence and fighting and everything else. We got some serious trash-talking competitiveness.
Playing violent video games.
Violent video games. And you know what? Halfway through the night, we went to IHOP or Denny's or whatever and ate. And we were all great friends, and now we're all playing together still and everything. It was great. It was such a bonding experience with new people because we had that common interest and we played. And it was great. And for people to sit there and trash talk gamers as these horrible people or these racist or misogynistic people and everything else, it's like, I don't see it. Maybe the 12-year-old British kids that you find on Xbox Live might be a problem because you're going to get wrecked, mate.
Well, yeah, because they put kids in front of these microphones who've never been in front of a microphone before in their life, and I don't care who you are, if you've never seen a child in front of a microphone and they know that they have no repercussions what they can say on a microphone, they'll say some of the worst crap out
there. They'll test the limits because that's what kids do.
Yeah,
you can't say that in front of anybody else or in person, but when you're on the internet,
you can say whatever the heck you want.
And kids are going to test that. So young kids might be saying some nasty shit.
It's their first taste of their freedom of speech. Their parents usually don't get to let them have it. They're not in the room. They're on a microphone to a forum or a lobby. They can say whatever the heck they want. I used to work for a catering company. We did an event for these kids' quinceañera. We were packing down the event, and we all decided to take a break. We left the microphones on and walked to another room. Now, I had the microphones shared to both rooms because they were playing music and stuff inside the other room. The kids got a hold of the microphone, and these two small, sweet little girls had the microphone. They were just talking and singing on it. We thought it was cute, and then all of a sudden, just belching. Just belching. Belching, belching. And it broke my heart to walk in there because it disturbed my lunch. And walk in there, turn their mic off, and just laugh as I left the room. And it was that moment that they knew I was listening to everything they were doing on that microphone.
And that's what kids are going to do. And especially in a repressed society where you can't say this, you can't say that, you can't do this, you can't do that, that's bad, that's wrong. Kids are going to go... complete anonymity and goddamn words, and they can do whatever they want with no repercussions until we get the swatting and SJWs. But what we're going to is the Not Your Shield hashtag.
Yes, hashtag Not Your Shield,
which is the minorities, blacks, trans people, gay people, LGBTQIT blah, 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 crowd, all these people that were being used as, you know,
SJW shields to bash in Gamergate people. Because the loudest Gamergate people that were talking about it were, unfortunately for them, were white cis males shouting back. And it was the same thing. It's the same thing on the other side, but they were using the minorities to bash their heads in.
Yeah, and saying that, you know, the gamers hate black people, the gamers are racist, and this and all this, and, you know, we gotta protect black people, we gotta protect trans people, we gotta protect gay people, you know, people use the word faggot too much, and people still call things gay in the gaming community, and they're using all this stuff, and it's like, the actual minorities, the actual real people were like, stop using us.
Right.
For your little battle. We are gamers, we don't agree with what you're doing here. Mm-hmm, are part of the gaming community.
Right.
And what you're saying is not true.
We feel a part of the community. Your words, your actions prove that you're not a part of this community. You're just coming in and you're stepping in.
And
then you watch, and the whole thing, the whole Gamergate thing is about journalism, ethics in gaming. And then you watch the other lamestream media, MSNBC, talking about Gamergate and never bring up hashtag Not Your Shield. And
never.
So it just put more fuel on the fire because Not Your Shields and these minorities are still getting the word out that they're here on the Gamergate side. And so it goes more and more to the there's no ethics in any of the journalism. And
no.
It proves that the lies that MSNBC is willing to push with hardly to any pushback, research into any. So hopefully it also help awaken a lot of these people who are on the Gamergate side to know that MSNBC lies to you.
Well,
they lie to you.
Yeah, well, and then on another side is that on Reddit, on a lot of different forums and different discussion boards, and if you look at any Anitas or a lot of these people, they disable comments, they disable upvotes, downvotes. And then on Reddit, some of the moderators are SJWs, and we're going around and silencing pro-Gamergate threads and subreddits.
Yeah.
Then, I really wish I could find a link to this again, but there was actually a Redditor that complained about being kicked off, banned off a subreddit about talk about Gamergate. Because they supported Gamergate.
Yeah.
They just happened to be trans. And the message they received from the mods is that as a trans person, they owe their very life and soul to social justice warriors, because without the social justice warriors, they wouldn't have any rights and they'd be strung up and dead, and that they are basically the property to be used by these social justice warriors. To be used as that shield. And this rant went on and on and on, talking about how the LGBT crowd is owned by these social justice warriors.
Right.
And we have seen quite a bit of that come out. And when they talk about the 4chan crowd or whatever, the pro-Gamergate crowd being misogynistic and horrible, you look at what the anti-Gamergate people are saying, and it starts to get disgusting. They pray for anyone that supports Gamergate to die. As you've seen, the SJWs will say all men should die. That, you know, men should become slaves. But you got, like one person put out, Gamergate is entirely nuts psychodrama about your tribe's insecurities about being mocked by the cool kids. Mm-hmm. Who are the cool kids? Website journalists? Really? Those are the cool kids now? Yeah. Okay, yeah, okay, yeah. Okay.
Because everyone wants to be that inside person, though. But it's the same thing that, which is like I was saying, is like the great thing is hopefully this is waking some people up. So these SJWs are showing that, like, showing their full their cards in their hand. There's other political, like in the political spectrum, the Democratic Party believes they own black people. And they've got the king of the black people, Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton. We've got the king black, so we own the black vote. It's yeah. the same thing. It's like so even when you like even myself as a black person doing anything that's not a part of the Democratic Party is almost seen. I get attacked constantly on Facebook. I have to block a lot of black people and other Democrats on there because I'm attacked just for saying something different that is not lockstep into the Democratic Party, saying that I owe them my civil liberties for the simple fact of what they did back in the 1960s. I was like that. But it's utter crap.
Yeah.
Even anything. And if you when you watch the anti-gamer gay side, you watch all the violence that they have talked about, the doxing, and they have doxed and actually have attacked other people on the Gamergate side. I'm not going to go into it too much because he actually did go to the police about that because he feels that that's a real threat, which it is because these people can't get incredibly dangerous when you're dealing with because it was a female threat. The threat is so dangerous because of how the laws are set. But the gamer guys, I didn't sit on their laurels to almost snuff the eye of the anti-gamer gay people, started to donating charity. They've raised over $5,500,000 for the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. Yep.
The Gamergate
$1,500 for UNICEF.
They've done a lot of crazy good stuff, and like there's another big name kind of in
$5,000 for Toys for Tots.
And the big thing is that Jordy Tate or something on his Twitter thing. It's like one of his tweets is, anyways, I'm going to bed. Gamergate supporters, I hope you all die of bone cancer. And he talks about how a lot of these people are talking about how if gamers are erased, there needs to be another Holocaust, and all these really really disgusting talks about how we should be killing people and locking people away for their thoughts and treating people like second-class citizens, and then talking about owning minorities. And like you said, and it's like, excuse me? And you're saying that we're the bad people because we call you a fat cunt and make fun of you and call you ugly and pick on you because how you look? And we're not talking about killing you and murdering you and, you know, whatever, and then you've got all these people that are the anti-Gamergates are doxing people worse.
Right.
Then
they're doxing them. They're getting them banned off of Facebook.
Real quick,
Twitter.
If you don't know what doxing is, it's retrieving people's personal information from a gamer tag or a handle on a website and finding their personal information and putting it out there, encouraging people to threaten them. And because once you have your location known and your home address and
right.
everything else, they even try to get their credit cards and everything else. There's been these people that are calling people's employers and lying to them about things, saying that they're pedophiles and they're on kiddie porn sites. Mm-hmm. There's people that are actually calling people's family members and harassing them. Some really, really kind of vile shit.
Right.
You know, like Anon and 4chan, they'll dox people and they kind of just, they usually dox people that kind of have it coming to them, that are just not good people or dishonest people or whatever. But these people, if you share a Gamergate tag and support and you make it known that you support Gamergate, they will try to destroy your life because you have a difference of opinion.
Correct. Yes. Yes. It's just how they come at people. It's to them, it's a legitimate weapon because they believe they Gamergate has done it to their people. Like apparently, like people have doxed Felicia Day, and then had her threatening her because she's somehow supported Gamergate because they almost taunted Felicia Day out here. Oh, we've got Queen of the Nerds here. She'll come out here and silence them down. And they brought Will Wheaton out there. Yeah, he's king of the nerds. He'll silence them.
Wrong.
You don't control this.
And that's one of the things is what we see where the PC gaming master race is actually superior because we don't need these big heroes. We don't need these leaders in our community. We don't. Same thing with like anarchists is that we don't need leaders. Mm-hmm. If you do good, we'll give you props for doing good. If you do bad, we're going to eat you alive.
Yeah, we'll come for you. Just like people like Thunderfoot got... if you ever watch any of Thunderfoot's videos on Facebook, on YouTube, they're amazing.
Yeah, Thunderfoot, and it's the foot is with two zeros instead of O's.
Leet speak for the win. Anyways, it's Thunderfoot's video. He just went on all kinds of like different video series proving things that are wrong, like the whole stupid thorium car. He also did solar roadways. And then he decided to touch Anita Sarkeesian. And that was just a gigantic rabbit hole. I don't know if he was prepared to step in when he stepped into it.
Well, no, because he also at the same time went after Stefan Molyneux.
Oh, yes.
And that's that Thunderfoot, if any of you follow the whole... The Molyneux gate that happened not too long ago is that, and I'm not actually sure what ended up really coming out as the truth, is that Thunderfoot put out videos using clips from Molyneux's videos, and Molyneux did a, copyright violation, and got the video taken down.
Yes.
And that was the beginning of the end of the cult of Molyneux.
Right.
Because that guy's kind of lost his shit. Not saying you shouldn't go back and listen to a lot of his work because it's amazing.
Well, that's the thing is, he did put out a lot of good work, but he did kind of like turn a left field. But just because someone went left field on something does not mean they put out good work. Just like
or their past work isn't still okay.
Right.
I mean, Ayn Rand's changed and affected millions of people's lives through her work. She as a person was batshit insane.
Just a little.
Very ugly person. But some of her work, while not perfect, had brought a lot of people to anarchism. Me, as an example, I was once an objectivist, and through her work got me interested in finding out more, got me to read about more of the political philosophy, got me to read about economics. So that was very good. Molyneux got me thinking more about how society functions and some more of the deeper thought stuff. While I did not agree with everything... Watching his videos was great because it made me think in ways that weren't possible. The problem with SJWs and that crowd is that once they pick a leader, nothing that leader says can be wrong. And they will follow whatever the main word of the day is.
Right.
Even if they disagree with it.
That was
they
the
will
beauty
follow
thing about
it
the Molyneux thing is you watch because he had a lot of supporters who thought for themselves. So when Thunderfoot went after him, the rest of them were like, huh. Thunderfoot was right, and went back at Molyneux. Was like, I can't believe you did this.
Yeah, and that's there's been a lot of really good YouTube channels that have covered this Gamergate thing and said this is what the facts are.
Right.
This is what happens using screenshots. Then you get the other side. It's just like all gamers are evil white cis males, and they're all sexist, misogynistic, and there's always the princess always needs saved, and the women are over sexualized, and everything else, and then. These other guys show pictures of thousands of women doing cosplay. Mm-hmm. And you go to a con, like when we went to Gen Con this year, there was a lot of women there.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of women. Lots. And that's for not electronic video games.
This is tabletop.
That was tabletop. Mm-hmm. And there's thousands of women involved in that.
Yes.
And that's a really weird community because it's even further down the list of how cool people are to be tabletop gamers.
Right, yeah.
But you go to Comic-Con, and you watch any video footage of Comic-Con, you will see a huge plethora of every race, creed, religion, everybody goes, well, except Mormons, I mean.
Yeah, well, you see that also at Penny Arcade. And,
yeah. There are a lot of women gamers. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of male gamers. There's black gamers and everything else. But then again, when you look at things, you also have to always remember percentage of population.
Right.
Blacks are still only, what, 30, almost 40% of the, around 30% of the U.S. population.
I wouldn't say 28. I thought it was 28.
Yeah, it's somewhere around there. About 28-30% of the country's population is black. So you're gonna see, for every 7 white people, you'll maybe only see two black people. But then again,
it all depends on the concentration area. Because if you go to Detroit, you're gonna see mostly black people.
Yeah, so it's, you got to always remember that, too. I mean, you're not going to see it like a half-black, half-white crowd. And you're going to see a half-male, half-female crowd because when it comes to laws of averages, most guys are competitive.
Right.
What are games? Most games are competitive.
Yeah, exactly.
And then when it comes to cons, who are usually more likely to be a fanatic for something? Nah. That's changing. That's changing. Women haven't always been told to be fanatics about something, go batshit insane for one type of thing. You know, mm-hmm. It's like you can't be too emotionally involved in things because you're a woman, blah, 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 blah. Which, I'm not an SJW, leave me alone, shut up. But we're seeing more and more and more women, and the cosplay is growing because that's, you know, and you go to cosplay shows and there's women of all shapes and sizes doing cosplay too.
Right, because it's a beautiful art expression. It's something that...
It's not about their body. Well, some people have commercialized it a bit for their fame and fortune so people can fap to them, but like when we went to Gen Con, mm-hmm. there was every shape and size of woman out there, and they were judged not on their bodies, but how well they made their costumes.
Exactly.
Even
bad costumes still have a spot. My favorite thing about Anime Crossroads was the whole ghetto cosplay competitions. I love competing in the ghetto costumes.
Yeah. And
those competitions are when you make a costume either going to Goodwill and finding pieces to make an anime costume, or no. You know, you may say to yourself, that's impossible. No, it's just more fun.
But that's kind of the point, is the gaming community is a very diverse crowd.
Yes.
It really is. But we're sick and tired of being picked on. We're sick and tired of being attacked, and SJWs have taken things to an extreme level now. And it's destroying some websites. Like we mentioned, Gawker losing advertisers. These other people lose advertisers. Then they turn around and attack said advertisers, thus resulting in them losing even more. So they're going to kind of take care of themselves.
Right. Just keep shooting themselves in the foot.
This has spread. Now we're having problems. Now we have Metalgate. They are going after the metal community.
What?
And saying that it's a bunch of white dudes wearing cargo pants and the band shirts, and they're unfriendly, and they'd never let anybody in, and they're a bunch of racists, and that we should be promoting bands that sing about feminism and everything else. And it's like,
what?
Metal has always been attacked. Think it's just like the gaming industry. Metal's always been attacked. It never does well mainstream because it's just... You have to either you like metal or you don't like metal, but then there's a million different niches in metal, and it's being attacked by SJWs now. That someone wrote an article talking about how good Gwar is now because now they have one of the lead vocalists is a woman now.
Right.
And it's been 14 years since they had a woman in the band, so we need to really promote her. And she's a vocalist in there now, and it's like, no, Gwar's Gwar.
Yeah.
I don't care if they have tits or not. They're all always half naked. They do the most insane stuff,
mm-hmm.
and it all depends on who can keep up with them and who has the talent to come onto the band. It's not like they've been selective on picking women or not.
Yeah.
I'm
not a huge Gwar fan. The first song of Gwar I ever listened to was I was watching the children's show Kids Next Door, and they edited Gwar for this food monster, but they were using a Gwar song. And I didn't even know what it was going on. I was sitting next to somebody and you were singing the words to this song. Like, this is brand new. How did he know about this? Like, that's a Gwar song.
Yeah, well, I mean, but so they're talking about how they're attacking it with a whole bunch of random bullshit anyways. They're nitpicking and they're taking things out of context now with metal. And that'll be the next thing is, well, and one of the things coming out of this is we stop this here and now. We do not let this SJW uprising get any further than it is now. Because we've already seen what happens to Tumblr and people that get on Tumblr. We both have a mutual friend that went from pretty cool person to, will you please go away and get out of my life?
Right,
because they got the Tumblr.
Warning,
we have the problem with trigger warnings and headmates and systems. And, you know, for me personally, I hate Tumblr because I'm trans. And that's a bad enough thing to talk about and deal with and struggle with. And then try to explain to people without these people creating 8 bajillion new genders and all this other crap. They're bi-gender, they're gender fluid, and they're people saying that they're two-spirit when they don't even know what the hell two-spirit is, and that's mainly a Native American thing. And all these people creating a whole bunch of new stuff and then complaining that people, they change their gender every day, and they complain that people don't gender them right, and the new 80,000 different pronouns and everything else. It's like, I think there's some stuff that needs to be worked on when it comes to trans issues and in society and dealing with trans people.
Right.
I really do. There is some stuff to deal with there. I'm tired of jokes based on stuff that's not even true. My jokes like to have them based in truth. They're funnier that way. But when jokes are made and people aren't even stunned the science behind it,
mm-hmm.
It goes back to thinking that black people are dumber because them as a race and their genes make them dumber, and that they are really nothing but animals. It goes back to women that during their like the hysteria thing with women when they used to lock them up, on their periods, or you know when they postpartum depression and stuff, they'd lock them up, call them crazy. It's like understanding the science of things and understanding the real reason behind things is great. Like I shared an article the other day talking about different brain patterns for like a male to female transgender person being their brain, some of their brain markings being more similar to a female's than a male's.
Right.
And someone said that was neurosexist.
Neurosexist?
Neurosexist. Like neurology.
It was like neurosexist.
Neurosexist. And I'm like, I'm sorry science offends you, you fucking moron. But there's science behind it, and I like it because I can help understand it. And, you know, I like the science where there's a little bit of racism in science where black people usually are more susceptible to certain things because that's their gene base. With America, it's kind of hard to understand that because we're a giant hodgepodge of shit. But you go to Europe, Germans are more susceptible to some things than maybe the French are and blah, 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 depending on how, you know, it makes sense. Chinese people, you know, this, that. In the medical community, that makes sense. Science is cool.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to society, now, when I go up to somebody and they find out I'm trans or whatever, or just automatically assume, which is all the time because I'm an ugly motherfucker, but it's like they instantly think I'm going to be some social justice warrior.
Yes.
And I'm going to attack them for not using the right pronouns, and I'm going to attack them for this and that and make demands and throw hissy fits or sue them or something. It's like, that hurts me. And that's, you get the same shit where you... People yes. think instantly that you're gonna like, you're gonna sue them for racial discrimination or everything's a hate crime and you need to give me special treatment because I'm black and blah, 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 blah. And it's like,
yeah,
no!
Yeah, you
that
have to,
hurts.
No, it's African American. You sure have to, no,
these
no.
people.
I'm offended at African American. You call me an African American. That offends me. I have never once been to Africa, nor do I want to go to Africa. And I get tired of
and it's like, what country from Africa? Because there's white people for generations in Africa. There's the more, Arab. Mm-hmm. People up north and everything else. So it's like Africa. You just give us a whole continent, really? Yeah,
right.
That's what you're just a whole continent.
And then liberals try to tell me to go back to Africa. Well, they're more specific. They're trying to tell me to go to Somalia, but you know, they're trying to tell me to go back to Africa.
That's racist. But and then we got the flip side of all this is now you've got the men's right movement coming up, and what's a man, and are you manly enough, and everything else. And it's created a binary where there didn't need, where the binary is the problem.
Right.
The binary is the problem.
Yes.
And it's now there's women gamers out there that are saying, leave me the fuck alone. I like to play video games. I like to play all kinds of video games. Don't pick me up for one side or the other or say I'm on a side. I just like to play video games. Leave me the hell alone. Maybe I like to wear pants more than skirts. Maybe I don't like makeup. And it goes back where everyone's creating this binary. So now there's this men's rights movement.
If you could leave my fiance out of this conversation, that'd be great.
What?
That says that's lace. She doesn't wear makeup. She wears pants. She plays video games.
Oh, well, okay. Whoa, biracial relationship with a non-feminine female. Okay.
Well, yeah. I hate the cold, you know? So, like, you know, when we go get gas, I usually sit in the car and Lacey gets out and pumps gas for me. It's great.
But that's the thing is now there's a binary. Well, there didn't need to be, where the binary beforehand was the problem, is that why do we have to assign, just because of something that someone might perceive as being between your legs, how you have to be and how you have to act? And it's like, that's why I don't get a lot of anarchists are now into the men's right thing and whatever else. And it's like, I personally think traditions and culture is the dumbest shit ever. Is it just, this? We need to create these new social rules and restrictions and how people have to be and how they have to do and everything else. And that's a crock of shit. And that's exactly what's being perpetrated and brought back to life by the SJWs. They don't want equality. They want their special little treatment. They want their special everything. And it's a crock of shit. But, and I think we just kind of got, you know... we're at an hour and I've gotten off topic because I haven't podcasted in a while, so I'm kind of venting. But we'll go ahead and kind of start
here
moving.
On the Maya Soapbox episode of Weird Libertarian.
Okay. Another thing this all leads to is that it leads to people wanting laws to be made.
Right.
And people want special treatments from the law and everything else. And I always point out is that racism would have died a long time ago. if it wasn't for the government. They resegregated the military and government offices. Mm-hmm. They passed Jim Crow laws.
Right.
When we didn't...
Racism was dying.
Racism was dying. Now, there...
It was dying in Europe. Okay. And the reason it keeps even, like, even in England, because people were forced to integrate. Forced. They forced them to segregate, then they forced them to integrate.
Yeah.
They had so many years of forcing, telling them that they're different, when before they didn't think anything was different.
And the government...
Not because they were slaves. You have to understand, like, when the Emancipation Proclamation was being signed, white people were being sold into slavery in the north part of Africa.
Yeah.
It was happening. No one, like, didn't think black people...
Name a race, name a color-skinned people that have not been enslaved, ever.
You can't. Now, you can name a race that went to war to free, you know, a race from slavery, though. White people.
Yeah. Well.
What?
No, black people, too. Remember, you know, Republic Haiti people. Type area, you know.
Yeah, that's true. Yep, black people. Yep, they freed themselves. But that's the thing. It's people going to free themselves from the state. And
yes.
People who want to use state to put their agenda on the table to enforce people.
When they talk
agenda.
About equality and they want equality, the government still to this day and will for years to come, as long as it exists, treats black people differently.
Yes.
Treats women differently. Treats everyone differently. They've made mm-hmm. special little classifications as long as that exists.
For the special little flux.
It can't end. It can't end. And... That's the thing where we get to the cops, and people talk about, you know, the Ferguson thing with racist. Eric Garner's racist. Mm-hmm. The cops themselves, maybe not. What it is the system.
Right.
Is that the idea? I work with Rupert's kids, the Rupert Bonham charity that's just moved down to Shelbyville. I work with him, and I've worked with him for years and on his campaign and everything. And you see these kids, and they grow up knowing nothing but a life of crime and handouts.
Right.
Numbers
culture
speak.
That was passed on to their parents, and they passed it on to
it's
them.
It's generations of welfare in the black communities. And, you know, that's where a lot of it's focused as when you got to, like, the Section 8 housing. They bundle them all together. They push to get black people and minoritieson their government dole.
Right.
They actively go out there and make a system. But when you get somebody that's grown up poor, they grow up around crime, and that's all they know, and then once they get into the system, they're forever tainted by it. If their family or brother, father, mother, sister, aunt has been in the system, they are then stigmatized by the system as somebody to go after. And so you go to these poor neighborhoods, and what do cops want? They want conviction rates.
Correct. And they're pushed by the prosecutor and their commissioner.
And they all make the more money and their more power off conviction rates. Well, who can't fight back? Poor people. Dumb people.
Mm-hmm.
So we get all these black kids in a bad school. We make sure they're all poor and living on just enough to survive with our mm-hmm. sustenance that we give them, which is, I mean, it's more enough to survive. I mean, most people on welfare, food stamps, all that makes more than I do. But, you know, you get them on a handout, and then they can't fight. They don't know how to fight. And then so cops, their mentality instantly changes to that, mm-hmm. is that we want to be able to do the easy crimes. Well, that's why they pull over black people. That's why they, you know, at a higher rate. And they arrest black people at a higher rate because they can't fight back. And it's much harder to see sympathy for black people.
Right.
Because of societal views. I mean, you look at when Ferguson happened, all these people saying, those dirty racist niggers and those animals and look at those mm-hmm. thugs. And the worst of the worst came out of people when they watched the protesters and Ferguson and everything else, and they were like, oh, all those people need to go
animals.
Get a job, and why are they burning down their own businesses, and blah, 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 blah. And it's like, just go ahead and assume all of those thousands of people are exactly alike, and just because of the color of their skin, that they're all exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't understand the issue is that it's not necessarily, and Ferguson was the perfect place for that to happen, sadly. It's because Ferguson exists because of racism, and in the way it does. Because if you didn't know anything about the history of that town, my God, is it racist. But, I mean, stemming back 100-plus years, but that's how the cops treat them.
Mm-hmm.
And the system inherently treats them worse because of how it's designed.
Right.
Which was, like, fortunately, while this stuff was going on, you can just oppose it to the Keene riots. The riots that happened in Keene during the pumpkin festival. And you watch the difference the way the crowd was. Well, these are college kids. They're still burning. They're still destroying businesses and doing stuff.
Look at sports teams winning and losing.
Right. Yes,
Stanley Cup and all these. I forget about these things because they weren't ever covered that well. Right. They weren't really talking about it. They're like, oh, just some little protests and riots. And they're celebrating a little heavy. And blah, blah, blah. And these people are doing over a sports game. Yeah, and they're destroying things. They're destroying cop cars. They're burning things down. But someone has a good cause to riot in protest. And it's those dirty animals.
We need to get the National Guard in here.
They need to go get jobs and blah, blah, blah. And like that thing going around, the picture with that guy with the Thomas the Train, the fun train.
Yeah, the fun
and
train.
And it started going around that was stolen.
Yeah.
Dude, that guy was there like that weekend after the shooting with that train, trying to keep the peace and lighten the mood a little bit so people didn't get so, you know, aggressive.
Right. Yeah, but the news report you got was that they stole that train. They stole that train.
That guy had multiple trains. He built that himself. That guy's awesome. But you go on a little bit and now you see Berkeley protesting. And it's getting bad, Berkeley. Yes. And there's a video floating around now of these Berkeley protesters, a bunch of mainly college-age students, you know, a mix of men, women, white, black, whatever. I think I saw some Asians in there.
Yep.
I couldn't tell if they were squinting or they're Asian. And and the cops started doing their thuggery, their march, their chants, their boots.
Yeah.
And then they started moving forward on these peaceful protesters and started shoving them, hitting them with the sticks.
Kettling.
Yeah. And it's like, I'm so happy to see that, sadly, that I have to be excited and pissed off at the same time to see that. Because now, these college kids are seeing how bad this police state is, how bad these cops are, how evil and despicable they're treating people. Finally, I've been saying this shit for years. And that it's about everybody. It's about everything. It's about the entire system. When I say all cops are bad, they might not be bad people, but good people can still do bad things. And when you're doing it for a paycheck and you're just following those orders,
right?
The orders are bad.
Yes.
And if you blindly follow those orders and protect that system, you are just as bad as it. You're enabling that system to be bad.
Exactly. Following orders wasn't good enough at the Nuremberg trials. It's not good enough now. You know it was a bad order when they went for it. These people were peaceful protesting there in the street, and they just decided to kettle them together so they would try to push and egg them on so they give them excuse for their violence.
Then you got the new reports of the agent provocateurs coming out.
Yes, the
pointing guns at a
yes.
Reuter photographer and everything else. And you see all this.
Threatening. When you got the audio of, like, there's some people telling that he was shouting, "Stop taking my picture. Stop taking my picture." People were like, "Oh, they're probably attacking him." No. People were pointing at them. He was scared because he got found out.
Yeah, and we've seen evidence of agent provocateurs everywhere.
Yes.
And I know Alex Jones loves to use that, but it's true. It's real. It happens. And now people are starting to see cops for how they are.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're finally starting to listen to people like me. But you also see on the flip side is now people are clinging ever so close, ever so more tightly to the police and apologizing for them and saying they're not all bad. And now we're starting to get numbers on how few departments actually record things and that we shouldn't be putting body cameras on cops because
they won't do anything.
It won't do anything, but we're not the ones that are supposed to be filmed. They are supposed to be filmed. We should be filming them. Cameras should be pointing at them. Cameras should be in every government officer.
Exactly.
Recording every government, everything.
If they want to record us, they should have to ask our permission.
Yeah.
Not the other way around. We shouldn't have to beg for permission to record them in their public duty. We are the private citizens. They are public.
And I watched just nights ago, live stream, and people say, you know, maybe things are being taken out of context. And every time these big events happen, I'm usually watching 7 or 8 live streams simultaneously to my wife's detriment. And I'm watching this as it happens, live, through every angle imaginable. No reporters, no nothing, just people filming.
Yeah, no filter.
And I'm
no filter.
Watching the National Guard drag people out of crowds. The National Guard arresting people. And they're not protecting buildings. They're not protecting anything. They're actually disarming the Oath Keepers who are protecting buildings and protecting the community and homes.
Right.
And they're dragging these people off, protecting their police department, protecting their buildings.
Mm-hmm.
They let a police car get caught on fire and burned, shooting, cooking off rounds.
Yeah.
And they didn't do anything to stop it. And you watch all this stuff, and then you see all these fires start up, usually only after the tear gas rolls. Mm-hmm. And if you know anything about tear gas, which is illegal to use in the time in warfare because it's a chemical agent, and you can't use CS CAS against like the Afghanis, but you can use against our own people. But you watch all the injuries come out of that. You watch them set fire to things because tear gas cans are some nasty shit.
Right. Well, and there are a lot of them are old cans, so they shoot shrapnel out of them. And
yeah. You ever watch when you watch video of those things going off, mm-hmm. you better be nowhere near that thing.
Right.
Then they're throwing flashbangs mm-hmm. and everything else, and it's like you're throwing these into the communities.
Right.
And
people.
After you agitated the situation. Mm-hmm. And so, and then you look at the example like Eric Gardner. Yep. And he was suspected of selling cigarettes
right.
that weren't taxed.
Mm-hmm.
When I tell people that taxation is theft and you are taxed at the point of a gun, mm-hmm. no better example than that right there. He's suspected of selling a product that hasn't been properly taxed,
mm-hmm.
and he got choked out and died.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. For being suspected of something.
On camera. On camera.
Yeah, and so your body cameras are going to do what again? They're going to help?
Mm-hmm.
There's already been judges saying that an officer's recollection of events and testimony holds more weight than video evidence, because we do not know. Video evidence can't show what was going through the cop's mind and what happened before the tape started.
Mm-hmm.
And they protect themselves. The prosecutor's paid by the same people, works off the same things.
Mm-hmm.
They're all buddies. The cops, the judges, all of them are on the same side.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
How can you ever expect there to be justice? Then you look at what the ACLU did recently, trying to get all the information they can on cops and what the equipment they're buying and on deaths and everything else, and they fought them. Police organizations are now becoming incorporated as their own little thing that you can't file Freedom of Information Acts against. They're getting all this stuff. They have all this equipment, all of these things.
Mm-hmm.
And it all stems back from the drug war, which was originally some of the main intentions from that was racist.
Correct.
I mean, that's if you don't believe me and you think that's just a bunch of poppycock, shut the fuck up, turn off your computer, whatever you're listening to, and go fucking eat a bullet, you piece of shit. But, truth, it hurts. There is racism. There is misogyny. There is misandry. There is all of this stuff. The whole point of everything is that there is some of this stuff.
Because the world's not perfect. It's not a perfect place.
But if you would allow us to deal with it, they're saying now that silence is consent. That white people not talking about racism is consent to racism. I'm sorry, it's not. You can't silently consent to anything. That's an impossibility.
Exactly.
They're changing...
Because if silent was consent, there's a lot of rapists that need to be let go.
Oh.
What? If silence is consent, then you let these people go.
Well, and they're changing the definitions of things, too. They're
right.
saying privilege is power plus it's...
Well, liberals do a good thing of changing labels all the time. That's why they started to call themselves liberals. That they're not liberals. They changed the name of SJW as well.
Yeah, and so they change all these things around, and we're on the cusp of a change. We're watching things change. How our society is, what our entertainment's like, our what we're seeing as far as. How we'll have video games in the future? What kind of music will be allowed to listen to? Maybe bands. There is no reason to believe that we won't have bands soon, and we won't have the equivalent of book burnings.
Right.
Whitewashing is whitewashing would be a good term. Is removing things that are offensive to people when this trigger warning shit starts to grow.
Right.
When all this special snowflake shit starts to go, and that's a trans person making fun of special snowflake Tumblr people. This will all get codified in the laws.
Yeah, this is what they want. They're trying to build up that momentum.
And these people will need jobs.
Back and all this other stuff. They're trying to build that momentum.
These college people are going to need jobs.
Mm-hmm.
What did lawyers do? They didn't have any work. Help create more laws. Help create a system that keeps your job secure. So when all these people, these gender studies and feminist mm-hmm. studies, people have all their degrees, they can't get a job, they're going to have the government make them jobs that will enforce their bullshit subjective opinions on how life should be and how special they are onto the rest of us unwillingly at the point of a gun with the cops enforcing the law.
Mm-hmm.
They might not agree with the law, but they're still going to enforce it, and that's why all cops are bad. because they will enforce whatever they're told to.
Exactly.
And that's bullshit.
Because they have discretion. Everyone has met the cop that got them off speeding or caught them when they had underage booze. Hey, if you pour that out, I'll let you go.
You know? Therein lies the discretion they have is the problem. If you think laws are so good, they need to be enforced 100% of the time fully. Every second of every day, every law should be enforced fully. Good luck knowing what all the laws are, by the way. We all commit, at least 3 felonies a day?
6 felonies.
Up to 6 felonies a day.
Yes.
Everyone's a criminal. You say they have that shirt out now that says, I can breathe. I'm not breaking a law. Actually, yes, you are. Not to mention some dismini... Misdemeanors. Mm-hmm. You're breaking citations, probably. Some local Sydney ordinances. You're always breaking a law. Right. Sitting here in this basement right now, I guarantee you we're breaking some sort of law just sitting here.
Well, like these microphones are so powerful, they're probably picking up somebody, and we're probably going to put on a wiretapping charge because we're recording somebody without their consent.
Yeah. So,
which technically, you could do that each time you make a phone call in a crowded area, and you're sitting there on a phone call talking to somebody, and someone on the other end is just happening.
Well, in Indiana, only one person has to consent to the recording.
Yes. Luckily.
Now, they're trying to change that in Illinois to try to protect cops from being recorded, which Supreme Courts have already come down on this. So we might still be able to allow to film cops. For now.
It doesn't matter. The man in the magic robe says you can, but the cop still has the gun. They're still pointed it at you. The judge also said they can't kill you, but they still do that, don't they?
Yeah, well, the judge's office said they have no rights or responsibilities for keeping the public safe.
Right. Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And if you think that's a crack of crap, just get on Google. Look it up. That's just something you can't make up. It's world.
They're called law enforcement for a reason. It's not...
Peace officer.
Well...
Or night watchman. When Ben Franklin originally started thinking about the stupid like a policing department, it was mostly just night watchmen because it used to be just a bunch of volunteers. And now it's these paid thugs that we have going around tramping over...
And then one thing to always remember is that cops have guns, they have tools, they have training, they have bulletproof vests, they have backup, mm-hmm. they have all these tools, and yet they are the most chicken shit little pansies out there.
Right. It's like
Their gun and shoot you before you have a chance to do anything that might possibly, in some weird eventuality, threaten them. They will pull up 5 feet from you rather than pull 20 feet away in a good, nice protective distance so they can say they were threatened. And they will shoot you in the back, they will shoot you any chance they get, because they know they're protected, mm-hmm. and they would rather shoot you than ever deal with paperwork or deal with actually having to prove anything in a court.
Exactly. Yeah. It's easier for them. You know,
So this is where this all leads to, why Gamergate is important and the SJW race rising, is that these will be codified into laws. There will be enforcement programs. There will be a lot of things. And guns will be used to enforce all of it.
Right. There's people, like, if you've ever been on, like, a modern college campus, and now we've got these kangaroo courts or these, the feminist has made these courts, so basically convicting these guys with little to no evidence on rape charges. We saw what feminism has done there on college campuses to make it a terrible place for males.
They've just come out, and a couple big news agencies had to report, come out and say apologize for reporting on a rape case that wasn't an actual rape.
The rape on campus.
The SJW crowd, when it comes to rape, are saying, let's just teach boys not to rape.
Yeah.
Can we teach dogs not to eat meat, maybe, or lick their own ass? The thing is,
those are natural things that dogs do. Men don't just naturally just rape, okay?
No, but bad people do bad things.
Correct.
Now they call it victim blaming if we tell a young woman, don't go to a party that you don't alone. Okay,
right.
Don't go to a party alone. Don't drink until you about pass out.
Right.
Don't do drugs. Mm-hmm. Don't take drinks from strangers.
Mm-hmm.
All these things that are common sense. It's like, don't be white and walk down downtown Detroit at night.
And then they're on college campuses. The colleges has disarmed them, have taken all the knives, because even mace cans and tasers are weapons. So they're completely disarmed at this point. They're inebriated. So it's made a victim class.
And now they're saying that if we tell people how to protect themselves and deal with the situation safer, it's victim blaming.
Right, yeah.
And that's a scary place to be. when we start talking about justice and watching what some of these women can do to people, or anybody can do anybody with just words when it comes to hate crimes.
Mm-hmm.
If I punch you in the face, that's assault.
Right.
Just because you're black and I'm not doesn't mean it was any extra of a crime. I'm sorry. A crime, the act in and of itself was already the crime, but now there's going to be all these new things. And now with the prison industrial complex, you get mandatory sentencing. The drug war is starting to turn down a little bit when it comes to, like, states.
Because states are fighting it against it. States are taking individual actions. So
they're going to need someone else to fine and put in prison.
To make this money. Right. But like a lot of, I'm sure a lot of the libertarians that are listening to this video, especially a lot of you left-leaning libertarians, are like, "Oh, what are you talking about?" And it also has happened to the libertarians as well as just like when feminism has come into the whole thick and thin debate.
And that's
I'm sure you guys had amnesia about that crap happening.
The brutalist, the thick and thin. These people saying they're libertarians or not, and they're saying that libertarianism needs feminism. No, it doesn't. It needs equality. We're all human beings of equal nature. You know, that's one of the reasons I had a falling out with some of the community of the brutalist community, because a lot of people believe that trans people are mentally defunct and that we have that we're mentally, you know, broken, mm-hmm. that it's an affliction. And when you start thinking like that about somebody, mm-hmm. is that they shouldn't have gun rights. They shouldn't be treated like a normal person. We should be able to lock them away or whatever. We can use that as an excuse that they're mentally, you know, broken. So, you know, I had a problem with that. And that's one of the – that's a small thing kind of, but it's like that's what we should be talking about is the science behind things and that everyone's a human being. We might – some of us might be some really weird human beings, myself included, but – if the SJWs actually did care, they'd be talking about equality and individuality and individualism. Not, and the same thing with the thick and thin debate, is that what's the core thing that binds libertarians and anarchists together? The belief that the state is bad.
Right. Yes. The state is bad.
The state destroys, it steals, it's a monopolization on the use of force, it's coercion, taxation is theft, voting is violence. That is the thing that binds us. That's the only thing I give a shit about when I say I'm a libertarian or an anarchist, mm-hmm. is that is what I care about. Everything else can be in its own context and its own discussion. It does not need brought into that.
Right.
And that's what these people are doing, is they're trying to put their agendas, their side agendas, into this.
Yes, yes.
And it's a crock of shit. And we should probably end here.
Yeah, we are almost on an hour and a half on this show here. Yeah.
Hey, people haven't had me for a while. They might enjoy this, the five people that listen to this podcast. Yeah.
We did talk about a bunch of stuff. But go out there. Look up a hashtag NotYourShield, hashtag Gamergate, and go in and look at this information for yourselves. Also, like, if you really want a good laugh, do look at Fenderfoot's video and also a lot of the ones that are talking about the whole, what is it, the Nina Sarkeesian's latest video for Feminist Frequency, the whole 25 things that just because I'm male, I don't have to do for gaming. That whole video is
You made a point the other day. About as if privilege is something you get when you're born,
mm-hmm.
and that you have it, and it makes you. You said what? If privilege is something I don't have to earn or work for, and it's when I'm born, you have admitted that I am better than you.
Right.
So why don't you go ahead and bow down to me if you admit that I'm better than you from birth?
Right.
And that's that when you said that kind of was like, that is what they're saying.
Right.
They're saying that they're inferior to us, and that is not a feminist or an equality thing.
Right.
They are saying that they need to have rules and laws made to bring them up to bring us down, because they for some that their speak, their mm-hmm. bullshit speak is saying that we are I lost all my privilege when I cut my testicles off, but
that I'm born better.
You're born better. And that white people are inherently better than you because they're white.
Why, inherited by some sort of birth, they are better.
And that's what it really boils down to. That is what they're saying boils down to.
Right.
And it's disgusting.
Genetics. Whoa. Yeah. Oh, man, that's even scarier. And I really started thinking.
Are they going to have a study that comes out when they, you know, they cut open some people's brains and say, look, the black man's brain's smaller?
Yes. Even though we have tons of different studies that brain size has no longer doesn't depends on brain power or IQ. Because a lot of female brains are smaller than male brains, but does not...
So is their entire body mass.
Right.
I mean, if it was brain size, then... You know, Nikola Tesla and Einstein's brains would be the size of like a house.
Exactly. So it's what you do with your gray matter, anyways. But
yeah, so we're going to end this this very long, convoluted bullshit that we kind of passed over a lot of things, but it needed to be out there.
Yes.
It is something very, 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 very important to at least know about and keep an eye on. But the most important thing is to fight against it. You see a feminist up in somebody's face, is SJW giving people shit, throat punch them. Equality, man. Equality. I'm advocating
with
violence.
With words.
Throat punch them with words. Do not let these people have the loudest voice.
Yes. Yes. Hit them with facts.
You can't just ignore them that they're a bunch
Sharks.
Of idiots. Yeah. All of Tumblr is evil now. When they banned being able to search porn on Tumblr. And you couldn't have your porn account on Tumblr because you no longer got searched. It turned into bad.
Right.
It turned into a lot of bad. So, but yeah, we're going to end this. Also, one thing I guess to tack on the end, if anyone's still with us, is that Harry and I and some of our other friends are going to be starting our own podcast. It will not be strictly politics. It will be our personalities kind of talking about
everything.
Everything.
Juxtaposing together.
Everything. Yeah. If you ever wanted a show about everything from an anarchist,
just perspective, just to make yourself live freer or better.
Yeah, and we're gonna bring in people in the porn industry. We're gonna bring in tattoo people. We're gonna bring in. I don't have any friends that are any of the like normal, quote unquote normal. So like, I don't know any Christians or. Straight-laced people, but we'll try to find them and bring them on.
I know a lot of those people. It's just like a lot of games that, D&D games I can't bring Maya to because they're so straight-laced they'd freak out. Maya's just so...
I would ruin it. You would lose a lot of friends because of me, but that's also something else to talk about is that Chris, if any of you longtime listeners have noticed, I'm going to take credit for making Chris a better man. Is that long ago... Chris wouldn't have cussed.
Is that making him a better man or making him a man? I couldn't remember.
Making him a man. Oh. Yeah, there we go. Making him a man. Like he has some interest in things that 2 years ago, 3-4 years ago when I first met him, he would have never have shown an interest in. That scared him. And now he's showing interest in them. And it's the transformation that happens after meeting me is... It's quite amazing. You went through a similar thing because of me. Your worldview changed.
Yes. I was a total libertarian Republican. I still, you know, I was that libertarian that, well, I'm going to vote Republican. Just, you know, when a Republican could lose a spot. But if the Republican spot wasn't in jeopardy, I would vote libertarian. You know, just prove a point, you know.
And you've lost some friends because you... After hanging out with me for so long, you got tired of dealing with their status and their unintelligent conversations, and were like, "I've been ruined. I can't hang out with the people I used to." Not saying that I'm the greatest thing ever, but that goes back to my point of shifting the Overton window, bringing people not to exactly where I am in, but pulling them closer towards the good. the anarcho warlordism. Guns. All right, but this has been We Are Libertarians episode 96. 95 still hadn't come out at the time of this recording, so who cares? It's an hour and a half long. You should have listened to it anyways. Do stay tuned. We will be talking more on this particular podcast about our new one. We just got our equipment set up tonight to do this.
Oh, yeah.
So that's really cool. We got better equipment than the We Are Libertarians group does, and. You know, I don't have to smoke anymore, so I can sit here and talk for hours on end with my nice brand new IPv3 with my Aspire Atlantis sitting on top of it with Fruity Loop juice. So, vape on.
Yep. So, So we also take feedback also on how we sign. So if you think like, hey, you guys need to tweak this needs to be tweaked, make sure you send us send an email in so we know when we should tweak.
Yeah. But thanks for listening. Everyone send Chris some hate mail. Everyone send Greg Lenz a bag of dog shit.
What is that? What's that website where you can send shit senders or something like that?
Yeah, yeah. Well, no, remember when Cards Against Humanity on Cyber Monday or Black Friday, they actually sold boxes of cow shit.
Oh, yeah. But yeah, you could go to shitsenders.com and you can send shit to
I will actually post for anyone that messages me, Maya Axton, on Facebook or on TSU. I am on TSU now. You message me, I will you send me money on like PayPal or something, I have his address, Greg Lentz's address. I will send him bags of poo for you. I will not give out his address. That would be mean.
Yeah, that's mean. Yeah,
no one is as up armed as I am can handle threats as well as I can, so whatever. But all right, well, yeah, thanks for listening, and hopefully we'll see you guys on our podcast, and completely dwindle the listener base of like 5 or 6 people on We Are Libertarians. So thank you much.
Yeah, and as always, we promise you a better day.
Music for We Are Libertarians is provided by Hoosier musician Brian Keith Wallen. Please check out his website, briankeithwallen.com. The song is Bad Spell.